Man, that's a fast-moving, angry storm out there, no doubt about that. And it was good to get some rain, but geez, the northern and central parts of Illinois are bracing for the storm that crossed the Mississippi River within the last half hours. The storm caused crop damage, grain bin damage. There are trees down, there are power outages, and it looks like there's more coming in the Eastern Belt.
Live from a tenuous northeast Iowa calm via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, we'll chat with Phil Conrad from Tradus LLC. In the final segment, Kerry Artak sorties the Artak attack. And right after the news, Jack Scoville from the Price Futures Group. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now, here's the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
Boy, I tell you, central Iowa, Davis.
Dude.
Yeah, Des Moines into the Cedar Rapids area. And there are areas north and south of that I-80 line, you know, roughly, that saw some damage. But boy, there is some significant damage. Guys are losing or have lost grain bins. Corn has gone flat. It was 99 mile an hour straight line wind gusts were recorded. This is quite the day. It's like we talked about earlier this morning with Michael Clark from BAMWX.com. It was sure nice to get those rains over there in the dry areas of western Iowa, but we didn't need the 60, 70 mile an hour winds that they got. We sure didn't need the 100 mile an hour winds that they got in the central part of the state. And then those strong winds continued right across eastern Iowa, and it looks like there are some rolling into west central Illinois right now. Good grief, man. What a day.
Yeah, eyes on the skies, everybody. This was nasty. The pictures on Twitter are unbelievable because we had, you know, here in my own backyard, backyarditis alert, you know, it was like a summer thunderstorm.
Yeah.
There's some medium heavy rain, some thunder, some lightning, a little bit of wind. I mean, I could feel it blowing in. I felt the change in the air temperature. I happened to be outside at that moment. But man, we dodged a bullet here in my area because that's some nasty stuff. I saw one of those big tall blue bins that was just sort of kinked over at a 90 degree angle about three quarters of the way up, just bent over.
You mean a harvester?
A harvester? Is that what you call that?
Yeah.
The big pretty blue ones. Yeah. That's what I call them.
Yeah, well, that monument has gone by the wayside then. It's the bright, shiny steel ones with the legs running into them that we're looking at going, oh my goodness gracious, what a and what terrible timing coming up on harvest. And
unbelievable.
We're going to continue to track this story. We're going to continue to try to bring in as much information as we can, and we'll get a take from Phil on what's happening over in eastern Nebraska, or what happened in eastern Nebraska too. Okay, let's go ahead and get to it. What you got in the news?
Well, Chip, export inspections of wheat in the weekend of August 6 totaled nearly 380,000 metric tons. That was well behind last week and year ago, and the lackluster tally limited buying interest in wheat futures. Positioning ahead of Wednesday's crop production and supply and demand reports was also noted as a source of selling in today's market. Traders say the market is getting ready for another reminder of bulging global wheat supplies in 2020 and 21. September hard red winter wheat was a penny and a half lower, 414. September soft red slipped 4.5 cents to 491. September spring wheat sagged 3.75 cents to close at 490.75. Chip.
You know, every time we get to an S&D report, it is the bulging global wheat supplies. You know, the burdensome supply of wheat around the globe. We just keep figuring out new ways of saying that we've got a lot of wheat around the world that's going to make it tough for this wheat market to push to the upside.
Yep. Corn futures opened just fractionally lower and on session lows. Prices then recovered to close modestly higher in near session highs. The inside day up for corn futures helped to strengthen support in December futures at last week's double bottom of 320. Rains pushing through some of the driest areas of Iowa capped buying interest, but Reports of storm damage to a wide swath of the central Iowa corn crop may have helped to slow selling pressure. Export inspections of corn in the weekend of August 6 totaled 1.15 million metric tons, helping to support prices. September corn futures 2¾ cents higher, 310.5. December corn gained 2¼ cents to 323. March corn closed at 334¾, up 2 cents today.
Yeah, keep putting that stuff on the ships and getting it out of here. The barge traffic on the Mississippi is pretty good right now. So there's a fair amount of corn and soybeans making its way, making their way down the river, and hopefully they're going to end up on a boat and out of here.
Soybean export inspections of 635,000 metric tons helped to support bean prices. Adding support was another round of daily export sales from USDA, which included 111,000 metric tons for delivery to unknown destinations in the new crop marketing year, and a total of 588,000 metric tons of beans for delivery to China in 2020 and 21. Positioning for Wednesday's reports from USDA was noted in today's trade. Traders also noted better than expected rains for some of the driest areas of Iowa. September bean futures 4¼ higher, 870. Novi beans firmed 5¾, 873¼. Jan beans closed at 879¼. That's up 5¼ cents on the day.
Yeah, and we're into that area right now where this market is doing just a little bit of technical balancing, because it's a good thing that we bounced off of that spike at 865 in the September contract today, or it could have turned really ugly.
October cotton 46 points higher, 62.34. Dease cotton up 44, 62.80. October live cattle futures 70 cents higher, 107.15. December cattle up 90 at 110.97.5. September feeders 27.5 higher, 145.40. And finally, on the snout side, October lean hogs 2.85 higher, 53.82.5. And December hogs jumped a buck 77.5 to 54.70. Chip.
All right. Thank you very much, Davis. Let's bring in Jack Scoville, Price Futures Group. Jack, look out. That storm is coming your way, man.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, I'm just sort of picking up on it now, and didn't realize that we did all that damage out in Iowa until just before I came on. And, boy, oh boy. Now I'm bringing everything in off the top of the porch and everything else.
It's a good idea, sir. Good idea.
Yes, sir.
So, Here we are. We're starting off a new week. It felt like a low volume day, but at least we moved to the upside. But it's about those reports at midweek, right?
Oh, I think mostly, yeah. I'm pretty sure that most people haven't really heard about the damage out in Iowa. Might not care, but but everybody knows that we got reports coming from USDA on Wednesday, and they could be market movers. They're likely to be kind of interesting, because USDA is surveying farmers and looking at satellite pictures of vegetation indexes and things like that. It's not going to be guys going out and actually doing a bunch of counting. So
right. It
will be an interesting report.
Yeah. Yeah. That's especially true after the report that you gave us last week, along with Jerry Goodell, about some of those ear populations being a little disappointing. Jack, that started to pick up some momentum as we got into the end of the week last week.
Well, it's just getting spread around now, but I think, excuse me. Mm-hmm. That is the big mystery out here is why the populations aren't better. And it wasn't really all that nice at planting time, so I can understand it. And
exactly. We got to go, Jack. Get ready for that storm coming, buddy.
Okay, sounds good.
All right,
thank
man.
You.
That's Jack Scoville, Price Futures Group. We got Phil Conrad up next. No doubt you've heard of MetLife, but did you know that MetLife Investment Management has over 100 years of ag lending experience? The MetLife Investment Management team maintains close relationships with its borrowers and can structure a customized loan with flexible terms to meet your financial needs. Looking to expand, refinance, or recapitalize? Consider MetLife Investment Management. Learn more at MetLife.com/ag.
AgriTalk is brought to you by Pioneer. For the best agronomic advice for your farm, count on your local Pioneer team for year-round advice. Pioneer, an American seed brand since 1926.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm your host, Chip Flory. Got Davis Michelson with me. Dude, Davis, did you see those pictures?
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
There are a number of pictures. There was a video that really caught my eye of the straight line winds.
Yeah.
Just flattening. I don't know if it was a farmstead or if it was just sort of a little barn site or what, but there was a giant tree knocked over. Just, I mean, crazy.
I mean, let's bring in Phil Conrad, Tradus LLC, out in eastern Nebraska. How you doing, Phil?
Doing well. We avoided the bad storm that you guys got. It looked like this morning about, I don't know, 8:30, 9 o'clock, it got dark and kind of looked like it wanted to do something nasty, but kept moving. And what a way to kick the corn down, and also that's true 2020 fashion. Let's try to cancel Big Ten football and ruin a bunch of crops all in one day.
Oh, Phil, you got that right. What was that vote, like 12-2 to cancel the season?
They said Nebraska and Iowa are the only schools that voted yes. Now, the only thing I will say, Chip, is this is cutting into Scott Frost's presser, but, you know, when you're a 5-7 team, I'm probably the only person really paying attention to that not outside the state of Nebraska. So it's all good. Hopefully we get something figured out, though. Maybe we'll be able to join you boys in the Big 12 again. That'd be fun.
There you go. There you go. Bring it on. Bring it on. That would be a whole bunch of fun. Oh, man, right. I'm telling you. So, yeah, a shout-out to Steve Watney, who is with Land O'Lakes up in north central Iowa. I've known Steve and gotten his reports for several years, and he is out taking some pictures right now and sending them out, and some of this damage is pretty phenomenal. He's got pictures of two different bin sites. I believe it's two different bin sites that just got hammered.
Devastating pictures on Twitter. I mean, just absolutely insane. And I'd be curious too. And we do crop insurance as well. But you know, most of our Nebraska guys take wind and hail. It seems like though your more Iowa farmers won't take hail and wind. Just possibilities that it happens lower. So hopefully, trying to spin this in a positive light. If it's going to happen, hopefully it's bad enough that at least kicks into a good multi-peril claim with the spring price being 388. I mean, you know, just try to think in positive here, but you get this late in the year, I don't care what the situation is, you don't want to see that. You put a lot of money and time into that crop, too.
No, that is exactly right. I mean, you go back a few years when we had the derecho, I think I'm saying that right, winds blow through, flattened a lot of corn in the middle of July. Well, that corn in Iowa stood back up and made a pretty good crop. Here we are, 3 weeks, maybe even 4 weeks later than what that was. Geez, I want to say it was 2011 already. Maybe it was something a little later than that. But it was just a kind of a devastating storm that happened then. I don't know exactly how widespread this one is. But at this time of the year, you know, I'm saying this, Phil, and you know what it's probably going to do? It's probably going to stand up and make a record yield.
Well, if you ask the USDA, it will. That seems to be the common theme the last few years. So, and I mean, really, though, and also it's like seems like central Iowa, west central Iowa hit this pretty hard. I'm no agronomist, but I'd assume with it being drier over there, your capabilities of things really breaking off and being in a worse spot is probably higher than if you'd had a good amount of rain and maybe had some stronger stocks.
Yeah. Yeah, so I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. I mean, we got the crop tour starting on Sunday. That's going to go through a lot of that area. Would be on Wednesday and Thursday of next week is when they will be going through it'll be west central Iowa on Wednesday next week from the western leg of the tour, and then the central Iowa will be covered by the eastern leg of the tour then on Thursday as they make their way up to Rochester. But how's things looking over there in east central Nebraska?
Good. By and large, good. Now, we did fight a pretty good windstorm. It had been probably about a month ago, roughly. 30, 45 days ago, had quite a bit of green snap come through the center part of the state. southeast Nebraska, we got a lot of dry land down there. We're catching rains frequently, almost at a scary pace. So that should be a good crop. You go to the northeast part of the state, though, and those guys can't buy rain. I was up there last Wednesday, kind of north of Norfolk, and was talking to a guy, and he said they got a shot of rain, but it was 20 hundredths. And he said that's really the first measurable rain they've had in a month. So it's weird at certain pockets, and I think everyone's kind of fought some sort of hail and wind. It seems Nebraska, by and large, we do every year, but it seems maybe more widespread this year of it being more of a, you know, 20 to 30% green snap type situation that happens. So, you know, and I think too, talking to guys, it's the time of year you got a lot of money borrowed, and you're also looking out and seeing the prices not being overly exciting, which most, you know, most years they're not right now. The difference is we've had, you know, 5 months of this and not, you know, a month and a half is usually typically when our decline starts, is somewhere in late June. So I think mentality wise, guys are holding up together pretty well, but I think like any business or anything going on right now, you got to take it all with a grain of salt and just kind of shake your head and say, keep forging forward, because we can't change the situation where we're at. I'm just glad we're holding 320 on D's here for the time being.
Yeah. We Davis made mention of that in the news, that double bottom that we posted last week at 320 in the D's corn. That's kind of become the line in the sand, hasn't it?
It seems like anytime we get down here, we're exporting something else, or, you know, China's came in and bought some beans and bought some corn, and the markets don't seem to care about it today. You know, the interesting thing will be is I really think here as a tour next week is going to be a pretty big deal. Everybody seemed to have these rose-colored glasses on 30 days ago, and I was right there with them. It seemed like we were sitting on a kind of a monster crop, so to speak. Sitting here today, you know, Iowa went, what, a lion's share of July and now early August without rain, and now you get some rain, but it comes at a pretty hefty price, it seems. I mean, we don't know how widespread it is, but I don't know. It's going to be an interesting year nonetheless, but anytime we can keep, you know, low prices will cure low prices, and I guess the faster we can get through this, and also we got to keep things open. It's, you know, no different than college football. We got to play a season and kind of keep everything moving in the same direction so we don't have another shutdown and breakdown like we had back in March.
Right, absolutely. I mean, the country can't afford that. The world can't afford that to happen. We need to keep the economic activity pumping along, and without it, it's going to be winter's going to get here sooner than what it should and what the temperature would indicate, because it's going to be a tough go of it for several months if we decide that it's time to shut everything down again. For the report now, on when, go ahead, Phil.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, hopefully none of that happens. I know there's a lot of side effects to all of this, but I think here in the Midwest anyways, we're somewhat, we seem to be in a better spot than some places, and at least people kind of keeping their heads screwed on straight, so that's good.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. The highest corn yield estimate that I've seen going into the reports for tomorrow, 183.2. That one's from Indigo. Have you seen anything higher than that?
Nope. Actually, that's first I heard the Indigo one. I knew what Stone X had, 182?
Yeah, 182.4.
I think the high, I'm just looking at the estimates, the average trade guess is 180.4, and the lowest is 177.5. So
high 180.4, does that kind of become our over-under line? If we get anything over that, it's bearish. If it's under it, it's positive?
Yeah, I really think so. I mean, if we stick in that 178, 179 type range, I think at least we stay support. I guess the thing would be is if we do have a 182, 183 type number, do we make another leg lower? What is another leg lower? Are we going down to, 307, 308? Is that going to be the hard line in the sand? Or are we going to go test $3? I mean, that's all going to play out here throughout the month.
You do that in the D's, that's going to stick that SEP contract under $3, put two handle on it, won't it?
Yep. And I do, I think there's a fair amount of basis contracts out there that have been rolled out that need to be priced. So we're going to face some pressure so that we could use some sort of positivity out of this report or something to give us a positive vibe to at least get a little higher markets, let people price into it and hold the markets where it's at. You kind of keep throwing two negatives at it, we'll keep leaking lower. But you know, we've factored in a lot of bad news to these markets. But by and large, the next 30 days, there's usually not a whole lot to talk about besides crop size.
Right.
And there's no indication that we're having a massive issue. Maybe you guys will uncover some of that next week. But today, it does feel like we are at least going to be in sideways trade for a while.
Gotcha. Okay. We have factored a lot of bad news into these markets. There's no doubt about that. Let's find out what that might mean for prices going forward when we get back to the conversation with Phil Conrad from Tradus LLC. We'll do that next right here on AgriTalk. It's time for headline news featuring some of the headlines ripped from Pro Farmers First Things Today. Tropical storm is headed for China. Tropical Depression 07W has formed in the South China Sea. USDA on Wednesday releases its crop production report and the World Ag Supply and Demand Estimates. Trump signs four executive orders over the weekend after economic relief talks with the Democrats collapsed. Did Trump have the authority to issue those orders? That's being settled now. No one at this stage is ruling out further negotiations. Both sides said Friday they'll come back to the table when the other side has something new to offer. Canada to strike back with its own aluminum tariffs, request for CFAP enrollment extension. U.S. intelligence says China prefers Trump losing while Russia seeks to undermine Biden. Check out all the Pro Farmer has to offer by going to tryprofarmer.com.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. AgriTalk is brought to you by Pivot Bio Proven, predictable, productive, weatherproof. Get a reliable partner, get the new nitrogen, get Pivot Bio Proven.
Celebrate my age, the ending of an era. And the turning of the page.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm your host, Chip Laurie. Got Davis Michelson with me. We are talking with Phil Conrad from Tradus LLC today. Before we get back to that conversation, let's go ahead and recap how the markets closed, Davis.
Well, Chip, September hard red winter wheat was a penny and a half lower at 414. September soft red slipped 4.5 cents to 491. September corn futures 2¾ cents higher, 310.5. December corn gained 2¼ cents to 323. September bean futures 4¼ cents higher, 870. November beans firmed 5¾ cents to 873¼. October cotton 46 point higher, 62.34. October live cattle futures 70 cents higher, 107.15. And September feeders 27.5 higher at 145.40. And October lean hogs $2.85 higher, 53.82.5. Dude, I've got one of those enormous, like super aggressive house flies that just keeps buzzing me. It's driving me crazy. That's your quick market recap. I got to get this fly.
Okay. Thanks, Davis. Appreciate it. Let the dogs in. They'll chase him around. Phil Conrad.
Did you hear he said, I love you?
That's nice. Hi, AgriKitty. All right. Phil Conrad, Tradus LLC. Yeah, hog market finally got a move that it needed today. I don't know if it's going to last or anything, but doggone, that was kind of a nice move to the upside.
No, good to see us bouncing off that 50 level on the Dece here and moving higher. You know, hogs, hopefully we can make another leg higher, be the similar to cattle too, cattle, ox fats. We've held support here at the 20-day moving average, and we keep bouncing off that. We're above the 200-day again, so hopefully you got to like the optimism in the meats where we're at there. I think there's an opportunity, especially you're looking at fat cattle, that we can make a run back to 112, and there's another gap in the chart there, about 115 roughly. So there's some good things to keep our eyes on. You look at you look at Dece hogs, another $5 move higher, put it right at 59. And also, that would be right in line with where we were at the end of April, which is kind of a spike higher there. There is a gap in the chart, though, at 63. So
right.
We get some constructive things that come out of that. Maybe you get some spillover into grains. And that's kind of, you look at the broader markets in general. I'm not an economist, but it is wild to me that gold is posting all-time highs. You got the Dow trying to do, be at highs or close to them, and some dollar weakness just doesn't seem to, something doesn't add up there. I guess we keep printing trillions of dollars. What's that mean to commodities?
Right.
Usually you see gold spiking, you know, there's some spillover into grains. Not that I want to see the stock market collapse. At some point, something's got to give out of all this, right? I mean, we can't go through this type of economic stuff and not have something give.
You know, and I haven't talked about crude oil or the energy markets much over the last couple of months, but just the simple fact that that crude oil market won't break with what is happening, it has got to be suggestive that we're going to see some inflation work into these commodities.
I would sure think so. I mean, try to educate yourself a little bit on that bigger picture type stuff. And you know, you got some talking heads kind of saying, hey, this is going to be a pretty big deal in the next few months, the fact that we're going to see the stock market eventually do something to the negative and see a pretty big rash move of inflation. And you wonder how long that's going to take. I will say you take the unemployment stuff away, and yes, there's jobs out there, but we're still have a lot of jobs that might never come back, right? So
yeah.
There's going to be a certain amount of economic hardship, which these times are going to promote that type of stuff as well. So nothing we can change about it, but you hope eventually, trying to find some silver lining in these grains is the fact that usually when there is economic hard times, people find a safe haven in commodities.
Yeah.
And you hope maybe we could see another leg higher kind of come out in corn and beans, but as a farmer, you got to market your stuff accordingly, right? You can't sit on this for 5 years waiting for that uptick.
Right.
And it's hard right now. I mean, you don't want to sell, I don't care where the futures are, 310. There's nothing pretty about that, no matter how you slice the pie. So, but you still got to make those decisions in some form or fashion, whether that be using an option or replacing, you know, if you got to make sales, you know, something we've really looked at is, say, that PLC program. If you took the PLC program and the farm bill, you're essentially setting yourself with a, you know, call it a 370 type cash floor. So it's not a perfect number. I mean, you got to take your base acres and base yield, and I think take that times what, 85%, and that's the bushel amounts you'll get paid out on. I think it looks like 2019 is that crop year is going to generate roughly a 13 cent payment today. You fast forward to 2020, we'll start pricing that here, step one. That's something we've tried to rely on, I guess, working with guys and saying, hey, if we could understand what your PLC base is, maybe we don't need to make as rash decisions at 340 or 350 or 330.
Right.
But you also got to market in conjunction with that, too.
Yeah, Phil, this gets into a tweet that came from at Dal O'Brien. And this, his tweet, I don't think is, to some people it might be new, but we talked with Jared Creed about what lower prices at this point would mean for total revenue. Now, Dow gets a little aggressive, and he says, if one wants the maximum revenue, commodity markets need to crash. I don't want to go that far. And, you know, it just goes against my core to hope for lower prices, Phil. But if we can put off that recovery for a period of time, build that, you mentioned it, it's one of the first things that you said, that we're looking for more demand with these lower prices. If we can build some demand, if we can maximize those, you know, just put a pit in your stomach to say it, but maximize your government program payments, you can put together a revenue scenario that doesn't kill you, right?
100%. And I think that's where you got to keep your mind at, because it'd be very easy to, on the surface, to look at this and be sick to your stomach, which is fine.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, there are things in place to keep yourself somewhat financially whole. And the key is managing that correctly. You know, would it be the end of the world to spend the first 6 months of this year at these prices? It's going to hurt. But if we can build demand, is that not a longer-term good thing? If an ethanol... And I haven't read it, but I was told the Green Plains earnings numbers and what they kind of put out, they're finding some different uses for ethanol.
Yep.
And so I think the great part about agriculture is we are swiveling and we are moving with the times. But when you go through that, there's going to be a certain amount of pain associated with that too. But as long as we can innovate and be better next year, prices will eventually reflect that, and we're going to have opportunities again. Just like 475 felt like we were going to six last year, 320 feels like we're going to 275. It's just part of the process we're going through, and I don't think you reversed the clock back 5 months ago, and if you would have said corn's at 320, to say we're sitting on a monster crop, or to go down there as soon as we did, just is very uncharacteristic of the corn market. But we're in completely uncharted territory, so there's going to be probably the flip side of this at some point that we're going to do something unseasonal and have a rally that doesn't make any sense, just like we had a massive sell-off that didn't feel like it made any sense either.
Right. I think that's a good point. But if we would somehow, some way, see that rally starting to develop, are you going to be working with your clients to lock in that PLC payment, to lock in some of these payments that are going to be going away as prices go up? Or do you just say, listen, we're just happy to see the market going back up?
Yeah, I think I was telling guys this, so it's a yearly pricing time frame. So if you got to take a bunch of grain to town this harvest, price aside, you have to re-own that in some form or fashion. Or you keep out a basis contract, but keep yourself price open on it, because the worst thing that could happen is you're protecting, you quote unquote have a put from the government at 370 on some portion of your crop. But you roll into harvest, you price a bunch of stuff, you don't use any kind of re-ownership type thought, and then it does rally back to $4 in January and kicks you out of a payment, and then you're double on a bad side. So that's something I've talked to all the guys about and said, hey, here's where we're at, here's what you have for PLC, or roughly this is the average we see in your area. You got to be prepared to maybe do things that you're not used to doing or seem unconventional, because we got to keep it in lockstep with government programs and hopefully maximize both sides of it, right? Like you said, we start off at a lower price, and typically we sell off in July, August. Maybe we generate a payment and still have some good opportunities. Like you said, I hate to say farming for the government, because that feels like a very dirty thing to say. But at this point, you got to understand whether you like to play that game or not. You got to understand where you're at and maximize your ability to run your business efficiently, even though you hate to take a handout. But it's all good. I mean, you got to move with it. Who knows if we get another round of funding, how all that looks, if there's any other foreign payments that come through. I guess that's the $1 million.
You got to account for it all. No doubt. Got to stay ready for it. Phil, we're out of time here, buddy. Thank you so much.
Yep. Thanks a bunch, Chip. And hopefully next time we talk, we'll be talking about football too.
Absolutely. That is Phil. Talk dirty to me, Conrad. All right, Phil, we'll talk to you later. Thanks, buddy. That's Phil from Tradus LLC.
Register now for your chance to win one of more than 1,000 prizes, including a full-size side-by-side utility vehicle. Go to farmjournalfielddays.com for full contest details. America's conservation ag movement would like to recognize Sanderson Farms for its efforts in contributing to healthier, more resilient production agriculture systems. To learn more, visit agweb.com/ACAM.
Davis got this from @hotnews88. Mark Putney says, widespread damage in central Iowa corn flat. One co-op lost 6 million bushels of storage in 12 minutes. I think I've seen some pictures of that already, and it is shocking what that straight line wind did to those storms, or did to those bins. Just crazy. So everybody out in Illinois, I mean, since the show's been on, the storm front has made it halfway across the state of Illinois. It was crossing the river when the show started, and it is halfway to Chicago. So be prepared for this one to come rolling into town. Okay, let's get over to Kerry Artak, Artak Advisory. How you doing, Kerry?
Doing great, Chip. How are you?
Doing just fine, just fine. Don't forget, Kerry has a 2-week free trial waiting for you at artakadvisory.com. That's A-R-T-A-C, advisory.com. Let's get started with corn.
Yeah, December corn, close 323 even, 329 half, just above the market, can contain weekly buying pressures and below which the market remains heavy into later August, and we could over the next few weeks continue as far south as 307 half, where we find meaningful support able to contain selling into later year. 307 half is also a significant downside continuation point into later year. Upside, closing the week Friday above 329 half would indicate 344 half within 2 to 3 weeks. We could possibly reach as high as 363 even by the end of September, though keep in mind a rally from here up to 363 even is subject to failure given its counter-trend nature. The market needs to settle any week above 363 even to shrug off that long-term sell signal from last March. And if these corn were to close any week above 363 even, we should continue higher into later year and even into next spring. Mm-hmm. November soybeans settled 873 and a quarter, 867 even below the market can contain selling through August, and above which 904 even is in reach over the next few weeks, where November beans can tap out through September. So, you know, essentially through September, we're in a two-sided framework between 867 even support and 904 even resistance, with the settlement outside this area indicating a directional bias into autumn trade. And so any weekly settlement, say Friday above 860, I'm sorry, below 867 even would signal 830 even within a few weeks, where we can actually bottom out into November expiration. Upside, a weekly settlement above 904 even would indicate 955 even by the end of October, where the market encounters long-term resistance able to contain buying into next spring. On to October live cattle. 2 weeks ago, the broader live cattle market did elicit a long-term buy signal into November trade, which remains in effect this week above 104.52. That is a level that can contain selling into October expiration, and above which 124 even still remains a 2 to 3 month upside objective. Downside, if we close the week Friday back below 104.52, that would be considered a failed longer-term buy signal, which is essentially considered a valid sign of weakness into autumn. Under that scenario, we could continue as far south as 89 and a quarter over the next few months, where the broader live cattle market can bottom out into next spring. But bottom line with October live cattle, we still remain constructive above 104.52, 124 even in reach as we continue into later year. Okay. And then finally, October lean hogs. As of today's settlement, we're in the midst of a 3 to 5 week buy signal above 53.10. And as long as we close Friday, the week itself, above 53.10, I'm expecting continued gains then into September, expecting 63.52 over that time horizon, over the next 3 to 5 weeks, where the broader lean hog market can tap out through the balance of the year. And 63.52 is also a significant upside tipping point into later year. Downside, if October lean hogs close the week back below 53.10, then we fall once again back to that 42.70 long-term support level, say by the end of September, where the broader market can bottom out through the balance of the year. And that's really all I've got then for today's analysis, Chip.
Excellent. All right, Kerry, thank you so much, buddy. We appreciate it. And we'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you, sir. Have a great day.
You bet. That is Kerry Artak, Artak Advisory. Okay, we're getting the guys from BAMWX lined up to be in with us tomorrow morning to try to put some perspective on where the storm was at its worst, how much damage was done, trying to assess some things. But there is, I am looking at a video from Weather Nation that Big Apple Joe retweeted for us. And it has got the winds are over 100 mile an hour in this video. It's around Cedar Rapids, Iowa, blowing things all over the place. Now, like I said, the guys from BAMWX.com are going to be on with us tomorrow afternoon. Now, Kirk Hands tweeted just a little bit ago. He highlighted an area that goes from far southeast Kansas to the Missouri-Arkansas border up through southern Illinois, and I mean the southern half, maybe even a little, maybe 60%, southern 60% of Illinois and most of Missouri, in an area where he says a few multi-cell clusters should develop yet this afternoon, with damaging winds and hail possible. Trends being monitored. It obviously is still very much a storm that is developing. Now, Big Apple, the latest that I can see for your side of things, I know that you like to believe that Lake Michigan can knock things down, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I think you can continue to hope for it, but it looks like the storm is going to be rolling in to the South Bend area sometime around 5:30. It is getting there in a hurry, dude.
All right.
In a big hurry.
Then I'm going to leave in a big hurry.
That's right. Get home. Get things tied down. Just kind of a devastating day over a lot of areas. It's easy to look at the reports out there on social media like you and I have been doing, Davis, and to just kind of assume that this is everywhere. All right? We know that it's not everywhere, but this was an event. This was an event that rolled through the middle of Iowa. Oh, my gosh. It's going to be something to watch this corn crop, see if it can recover from some of the damage that we have experienced. Okay, like I said, tomorrow morning we're going to talk to the guys from BAMWX. We're also going to have a conversation with Brian Grady, the editor of Pro Farmer, about the crop tour that's coming up next week. And tomorrow afternoon, Dwayne Bussey from Bolt Marketing. Have a great night, everybody. Stay safe out there.